The Radio Memories Network is brought to you in part by Liberated Syndication. Podcast publishing made easy. Libsyn.com. That's LIBSYN.com.
You're listening to Yippee-ki-yay, Western Old Time Radio.
Hello there, friends. It's a mighty nice day here at the Diamond K Ranch. The door of the tack room is wide open, so why don't you come on in? This is Ken Maynard in Tarzan. Bringing you another 15 minutes of Western adventure. You know, we're never too busy here at the Diamond K to stop and visit for a while. Say, you know, some folks said to me a while back, Ken, what's a tack room? We've heard you talk about it, but we've never been on a ranch, so we're kind of what you call tenderfoot. Well, I'm going to tell you right now that a tack room is a sort of a hangout where the cowboys can sit around and relax. They keep their saddles, bridles, chaps, and, well, all their riding gear and souvenirs in there. It's sort of a bunk room, too, the living room rolled into one. And I'm telling you this much, it's a mighty cozy place to do some storytelling. I've got a little yarn for you now called Thunder Valley.
From the tack room of Ken Maynard's Diamond K Ranch, we're bringing you transcribed stories of adventure, stories of circus life, fascinating tales of the Old West, where cowboys still follow the cattle trails, stories of rodeos and parades, colorful legends of the red man, hidden gold and buried treasure. The exciting tales from the Diamond K are told by Hollywood's champion of Western stars, internationally famous Ken Maynard. Now, while Ken's kind of getting you visitors all comfortable in the tack room, I just want to put in my dollar's worth for a second or two. You must have guessed I'm talking about the dollars and dollars worth of entertainment you get with the Diamond K record album of Western stories told by that champion of Hollywood's Western stars, Ken Maynard. But all you have to do is send $1 to get your very own personalized Diamond K record album. That's a pretty big value, buckaroos. You get 4 sides, 2 complete Wild West stories in a beautiful full-color album with pictures of Ken and Tarzan on the front. Now, you can't buy this album in any store. No, sir. Ken only sends these to his friends of the Diamond K. So for some real Western fun, send your name and address to Ken Maynard in care of this station and enclose a $1 bill. And just wait till you hear Ken say hello to you personally right on the record and call you by name. He'll say,
Hello, Harvey. Hello, Tom.
And in that way, your album is personalized. And it's just as easy as falling off a corral fence to get one. Just send your name and address to Ken Maynard at this station and enclose a $1 bill. Now Ken's all wound up and ready to go with his newest tale of adventure.
I'm sure in a fine story mood today. Did you ever get that lazy feeling when the warm summer rolls around? Oh, I do. I like to get out on the highway and just ride and ride. No matter where you go, there's always something interesting to see. I guess we're all a little like Huckleberry Finn, just looking for adventure. Well, sir, along the highway you see signs that say historical marker 1,000 feet ahead. Did you ever stop and read any of them? Well, you should. You'll find some mighty interesting facts about this wonderful country you live in. True stories about the men and women who followed the ox carts across the wilderness and then built cities and towns in a land where nothing grew except sunflowers and sagebrush. Of course, not all the markers are where folks can find them unless they do a little searching like the one I found on an old dirt road somewhere in the Red River country, a few miles from the Mexican border. I'd been following the river for about 10 miles, trying to find a place where the water was shallow enough so I could cross without a lot of trouble. Well, I drew rein on a sandy knoll and looked around this desolate country. You know, there are times during a man's travels that he'd give most anything just to have someone to talk to, and this was one of them for me. As I looked around, I noticed a weather-beaten old marker by the roadside, half buried in the sand. I dismounted and tried to make out if it was a tombstone or a signpost. Near as I could read, it said Thunder Valley, hunting ground of the Comanche. There was an arrow pointing towards the north. I'd always been interested in Indian lore, so before the sun set, I was many miles into the land where the red men had once roamed. In the far-off distance, I noticed the outline of some sort of buildings, so I decided to head for there and make camp. Well, I spent the night there. Turned out to be called Sonata, a ghost town that lay at the base of Tucson Pass. I nosed around a bit, looking into some of the deserted buildings. Then I found I wasn't alone in this town. That was when I got acquainted with Charlie Skinner. the one-legged stage driver who lived in the back room of Hadley's abandoned livery stable. That evening, as Charlie boiled a pot of stale coffee grounds, I heard the strange story of Thunder Valley. Charlie leaned his homemade crutch against a chair and motioned toward the empty buildings that had once been the little town of Sonata. "Yes, sir, mister," he said. "I reckon you can call this a ghost town in more ways than one. But for the first time in 70 years, folks are starting to move back here. Mister, I remember when this was quite a little town. Then folks started moving out like scared rabbits, and it was them Indians that done it." "Yep, it was them Indians, all right. It was them Comanche Indians." Charlie leaned forward as he reached for the coffee pot, and his voice was raspy like a fiddle string off key. He said, "Maybe you noticed the box canyon to the east. Got more colors than a rainbow when the sun hits it just right. Well, the Comanche camp was just at the base of the canyon. You know, mister," he said, "them Indians was a friendly tribe, no matter what you might have heard. Chief Thunder Eagle made a treaty with the government, and I reckon he meant to keep it. But you know how some whites are. Greedy, yes, sir, greedy. They weren't satisfied to take the land, which I sort of figured rightfully belonged to them Indians. No, sir. They wasn't satisfied with that. Stole the Indians' ponies and what few cattle they had. There were some had an idea that the Comanches had a treasure of gold hid. Charlie got worked up as he told me the story. Paused for a minute and then said, "Sounds kind of strange, don't it, mister? White men stealing and plundering from the red man? But that's the way it was. Why, they forced them Comanches back against the rim of the canyon, and during one of their raids, an Indian brave got killed." "By ding, mister," he said. "That was enough to start a war." "Well, sir, folks, old Charlie was getting kind of excited by the sound of his own voice. I reckon he hadn't used it much for years. Then he took a sip of black coffee to clear the frog in his throat and continued. "You know, mister," Charlie said to me, "Chief Thunder Eagle was too smart to start a war. He figured out something else. Them Indians had a big powwow back there somewhere in the Box Canyon. You could hear their drums beating for days. They lighted fires at night and called on the Great Spirit. Why, them fires lighted up the whole valley. Folks here got kind of uneasy. They built barricades and forts, and they figured the Comanches would strike any minute. But they were wrong. Instead, Chief Thunder Eagle rode into Sonata with a dozen braves and spoke his piece. The folks in Sonata sort of took it as a joke. Some of them wanted to start war right then and there, seeing as how they were all ready. But they ruled against it, and Chief Thunder Eagle rode back to camp, and the powwow and drums continued for another week. Charlie told me that what the chief said that evening has been told thousands of times, and as near as he could remember, it went something like this. The chief said the Gray Spirit was very angry at the white brothers who had killed and stolen from the red man, and that a curse had been placed on the land that once belonged to the Indian, and that when the moon was gone, the night was dark, the wind would blow in from the east, and the earth would rumble and shake. And if they did not flee from this land, the Great Spirit would become angry, and many would die." Charlie got up from his chair and hobbled across the room and opened the door. As he peered out in the night, he said, "You know, mister, it was such a night as this that it happened. A black night, not a single star, a night of terror for Sonata. You know, folks, this has always been one of my favorite stories. It's a doggone full of suspense. I kept wondering what was going to happen. But now let me tell you about something you won't have to wonder about. Only take a second, and then I'll finish the story. You won't have to wonder whether you're getting your money's worth when you stand in for a K-shirt. Now, maybe you think that sounds conceited, but I'm not the fellow that makes them. I just wear them because they're made special for me. And I honestly think they're a real big value for only a dollar. I think you young buckaroos will really like this K-shirt. The colors and the way they fit. I'm sure Mama liked the way they wash and need no ironing, unless she wants to. The K-shirt like I wear, made buckaroo size for you in 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, or 12. Whatever size you wear. Awful easy to get one. Just send me your name and address and write K-shirt and enclose just $1 bill and send it to this station. Be sure to send your size so the fella can make it to fit you." Well, now getting back to the legend of Thunder Valley, the shadow of fear crossed Charlie Skinner's face as he told me what happened that fateful night in Sonata. The gentle wind that started in the east, just as Chief Thunder Eagle had prophesied, grew into a roaring howl, and it grew and grew till the trees shook themselves loose from the ground. The earth rumbled like distant thunder, and the houses shook. Dishes fell out of the cupboards and broke. Barns blew down, and cattle stampeded, and the people clutched anything as the wind roared and the ground shook. Charlie said, "I reckon the Great Spirit was really peeved that night." When the next morning came, there were some folks who survived who said it was just a natural earthquake that had crossed the valley and wouldn't believe Chief Thunder Eagle had really been able to put a curse on the land. Charlie said, but his voice was scarcely above a whisper as he continued, "But here's something kind of strange, mister. That was only the first time. Every night that the moon was gone and the sky was dark, the wind came in from the east. The earth rumbled and the houses shook. Day after day, you could see ranchers and town folks packing what few belongings they had and getting ready to leave. And there, standing alone, high on the Tucson Pass, Chief Thunder Eagle stood, watching the settlers cross the valley and disappear along the riverbed. And year after year, the legend grew until the white man was afraid to come into Sonata." Charlie finished his story with, "Like I said, mister, there were some folks who thought it was just a series of earthquakes, but myself, I go along with them who realize that there are a lot of mysteries in this world we've never been able to figure out." Well, that was the end of Charlie's story. I really didn't know what I thought about the tale of Thunder Valley, but as I left the little ghost town of Sonata the next night, I turned in the saddle and looked at the mighty cliffs of Tucson Pass. And for a moment I thought I heard a far distant rumble like thunder, and felt a sudden tremble in the earth as it crossed the valley. And as I rode towards the banks of the Red River, I wondered about Chief Thundercloud and the mysterious tale of Thunder Valley.
My goodness, Ken, that was... Oh, boy, that really had my hair standing on end. What a thriller. And folks, Ken will be back in just a minute or two to tell you about his next exciting Diamond K tale. And while he's deciding which one it's going to be, I want to tell you young buckaroos about another thrill. You know the one I mean. The thrill of hearing yourself called by name when Ken says hello to you personally on his Diamond K record album of Western Tales. Now everybody will know it's your album because they'll hear Ken talk to you and say hello personally. The album contains two wild and woolly Western tales told as only Ken can tell them from his true experiences. Why, you'll have more fun than a circus playing them for all your friends, and I'll wager Mom and Dad will kind of listen in, too. You know how to get this album, don't you? Just send your name and address to Ken Maynard, in care of this station, and enclose a $1 bill. Send your name and address to Ken Maynard. See, I'm going to spell that for some of you. If you don't already know, you should. That's K-E-N for Ken, Maynard, M-A-Y-N-A-R-D. Ken Maynard, in care of this station, and enclose a $1 bill. No fooling. It's the biggest value in a record I ever heard of for a dollar. And I think you'll agree. So send for yours today. Now let's just rope Ken in here for a few words.
Well, folks, it's time to bring our story round up to a close. This is Ken Maynard and... Tarzan, closing up the tack room at the Diamond K Ranch till I see you next time, when I'll tell you the story of the Great Stampede. We'll be looking for you. And in the meantime, get them $1 bills in the mail now for some real Western fun. One for the K shirt and one for the Diamond K record album. So long, folks.
You've been listening to Tales from the Diamond K, transcribed stories of adventure told by Ken Maynard, internationally famous cowboy and Hollywood's champion of Western stars. Tales from the Diamond K was produced in Hollywood.